Okay, we're continuing in the Bovavi on page Resh Lamed. We're finishing up the discussion of Ava She'ena Tluya B'Davar, love that doesn't depend on anything. And the essential aspect of that is that by virtue of the fact when one can come into one's deepest recesses of one's soul, where that soul is at one with Hashem and the Torah and the Jewish people, this is not a oneness that happens to be from a separate entity combining with a separate entity, but it's the original entity that was always one to begin with. As we said, there's two types of relationships with a spouse. As the first human beings, they were one, but then they were separated. So either you could have two human beings that are really not so connected, that but they do connect with each other, or it's coming back to the original connection that existed. And if you're talking about an aspect of something going back to originally what existed, is you can never be separated from that being. That is the essential oneness that exists, and it doesn't depend on anything else. It is a reality of the fact that it is one and always was one and always will be one. While a love that depends on something means it wasn't one, it became one, and will eventually lose its oneness. We said a whole bunch of stories yesterday about the fact that if you love Hashem and you don't love people, it can't be that you have a love that doesn't depend on anything. It's a love that depends on how you love Hashem. And you may love Hashem, but you may not love others. So continuing this thought, again, on Reish Lamed in the middle of the page, under the subcategory of Chadhu, being at one, Im Kutcha Bricha v'Mishol, with Hashem and the Jewish people, and he elaborates on this point that I've mentioned. Binyan Zeh Motzim Anu Dover Nifl B'Gamor. In regarding this aspect, there's an amazing thing, a wondrous thing the Gemara says. Vayishmu u'shlosha roe Iov es kol hara hazos haba lov yavo ishmim kamo. In the story of Iov, he had three friends, and it says the three friends heard about all the evil that came to him, and they came each one from his own place. And the Gemara explains, Vayivadu yachtov lavo lanudlo lanachmo. They all got together to come and support him and to comfort him. So what does it mean, my vayivadu yachtov, they came together? So, Tupshat. Amar Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, says, Malamet shenitven sukulim b'shar echad. They all came in one gate. In other words, they all arrived simultaneously without prior communication. Remember, this is before the days of any kinds of telecommunications. So the fact that they live so far away, how would they even know that Eov is suffering at all? And all three of them simultaneously knew something was bothering him, and they all came at the same time. So it must be that they just felt that something was wrong with Eov. But they all fell and came at the same time. V'tanan, the Gemara continues and learns the following. This is how they knew. It's machlokas, but it's the same idea. Bein kol echad v'echad sholosh meos parsi. First of all, we know that between each one was 300 parsos. 300 parsos, that's a long distance. That's a long distance. That's like 1,200 kilometers. Okay, that's a bit of a distance. That's a bit of a distance. So 1,200 kilometers, I mean, you can go to New York almost. That's a distance, almost, a little less. Well, it's more. It's more than from here to New York. So that's quite a distance. So how did they know what happened to you? How did they know what's happening with each other? Sikir Amri, so some says, Klila Havalaho. Some say that there was a Klila, there was a crown. V'ikad Amri Ilani Havalaho. Some say it was a tree they had. V'kimin Tekamshi Havayadi. So let's see what these words mean. These words itself, it's a Machlokas Gemara, what it means. Well, not a Machlokas, but Rashi tells us what it means. Upirish Rashi, Klila, what's a Klila? Ksarim, there were crowns. Ubechol keser shlosha pertsufim. Each crown had three faces. In other words, each one of the friends, it was four friends, each friend had a crown that had the faces of the other three friends on it. Visheshmo mechuka kal pertsufo. And each one had his friend's picture, right? And the name etched in that on the face. Like you have a face of Eov. It said Eov on it. Right? Ukeshabon Yisurin al Echman, and when suffering came to one of them, Pirtsufa Mishtane, so the face would change. Mysteriously, that, you know, if something would be wrong, that the face would get dark, whatever. Or the same thing, Vechein Ilnin, so this with the tree. They had, each had planted three trees in their farms, and if something would go wrong, then the tree would wither away. So that's how they knew something was wrong. All three of them saw that either the face of Eov was dim, or they each had a tree for Eov that was withering away. Okay, that's the Gemara. So now, Klomar, what does this mean to say? L'chol echad me'ashloshes re'ev shel Eov ha'yakeser o Elon. Each one of his friends had a crown or a tree. U'kashechem em lochash betuv. And if one of them didn't feel well, ha'yukol ha'shar yodim zos. They all knew this. So now we're on Reish Lamed Aleph. So what's the question? Me'heichon hushrish behem koyech seladas ma koyre im achover ha'nimtso b'mirchak ravimenu. From where was it rooted, the power to know what would happen with a friend that was found so distantly away? This can only be explained by the revelation of the unity that is buried in each and every Jew. They reach this level of Ava Sheina Tluya Bedavar. Kishem Shekesheraglu. Raglo shalom koeves, just like if a person's foot hurts, who margish as yisurim b'chol chalkei gufo, he feels the pain throughout his body, ki akol chad, because it's one body. Kakesh zoich adam lehiskalel im nishmas yisrael, when a person merits to be incorporated within all the souls of the Jewish people, im haTorah v'bara olam, and together with the Torah and together with the Creator, who margish gam ishar chalok, and he feels the other parts as well. That's the point he's saying. That is the Ava Sheina Tliya B'Dover. You are at one in soul, and there it's not possible that you can't feel what's going on. Yiduah she tzadikim choshim gam es yisurei azulos. It's known that tzadikim can feel pains of other people besides themselves. They mamish feel it. Not like we say, I feel bad for you, but they mamish feel it. V'kol zo slum, and why is this? The answer is kiven shat tzaddik b'nishmaso hu chadim nishmais yisrael b'gilui. Since the tzaddik, his soul is at one with all the other Jewish souls, and that is a revealed oneness of the soul. Memele kashesh tzar ba'anaf. Therefore, if there is a pain in the branch, gam hasherish margish bo, so too does the root feel this as well. If you recall, one of the Star Wars movies, where it was the good guys versus the bad guys, right? And this whole idea of this force. So thank you for reminding me. So Obi-Wan Kenobi, during one of the scenes where a whole planet gets destroyed. So all of a sudden he gives up his, he could feel a whole transformation comes over. He could feel like a feeling of pain. And they said, what's the matter? He says, I felt something very bad happen. Right? So, lahavdol. But that's exactly, in terms of a mashal, you know, what's going on. A tzaddik will mamish feel bad. There were times where we knew that tzaddikim knew of other tzaddikim who died, even though they were miles away and there was no way of them hearing it. You could just tell. If you're that much connected to your own essence and to Hashem and the Torah and the Jewish people, there's no way you can't feel this kind of pain. And that's what the whole idea, you know, in the Hasidic world of having a tzaddik. The tzaddik from his birth was bred to be that kind of a person, to have that, to get in touch with his neshama. Imagine a lucky person a tzaddik is, you know. His father trains him from birth how to live with that neshama. Alright, so he has a big neshama. He taka feels every pain of Klal Yisrael. So that's how it worked with Eov's friends. They were zeicha. They merited to be on such a level. Big level. Imkain, if so. A person wants to reach a level of love that doesn't depend on anything. Your work has to reach a level of a pathway of, as the expression goes, literally to strip one's body from off one's soul. Which is also the way that the Nefesh HaChaim, when we learned long ago, that might need a review. Long ago, when the Nafsh HaChaim said the idea of tefillah, he brought down from others, the idea of tefillah is stripping your physicality off of yourself and coming in and having the neshama come into contact with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, you know, so, okay, so we're trying to do it during tefillah. These people who love Hashem this way, it's a constant state. And it makes sense, because, you know, again, halavai shishmal adam kol yom kol, halavai person daven all day long. This idea, they were in the level of shayt guf chami al nashka, strip off your body from off your soul. Lagia lamatzav shanevesh kavua v'dvuka ba'olam shal ruchonis gomer, to reach a level that the soul is attached and connected into the world of spirituality in a complete way. As long as entering the spiritual world is only occasional. Occasionally you get a big hisirus and you get a hislavus and you feel real close. But if it's only occasional, it's not possible for a person to say he's reached a level of he has love that doesn't depend on anything else. Right? So, in other words, if you're still stuck in the what's in it for me syndrome in your Yiddishkeit or anything else, right? You can't feel, you know, for others, you know, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If you say, I love the person because he does so much for me. That's not gonna, you're not there. But only if the root of what you are, of who you are, you know, and that's what you are, that connection is there, then will you come to love other Jews. You can't love. There's a lot of Jews that are not so lovable. So, you know, you've got to be able to see the neshama in that person. For some people, that's the only lovable part of the Jew. Right. So if you say, well, this Jew I like, this Jew I don't like, then there's a major problem. I mean, it's not a problem. You're just not on this level. Remember we said this level is one we're probably not going to attain in our lifetime anyway. But you know you're not on that level. It's a good litmus test. Oh, I love a lot of these Jews I don't really like. Right? Or similarly by learning. You know, if you're chad with Torah, if you're one with Torah, then you love all Torah. There's no such thing as, oh, this part doesn't interest me. You know, like I'm interested, oh, this Gemara I'm interested in, that Gemara, forget it. You know, certain Gemaras are really hard. Erevin is hard, Yevamos is hard, Nida is hard. There's certain very, very hard Gemaras. And some Gemaras, you know, just get involved and get bogged down and go by pages and pages and pages and just going over this one little point and on a sidetrack of this little point and go on and on and on. And, you know, certain people say, you know, I just want to learn, you know, Gemaras that are interesting, like story Gemaras or Gemaras that come to a very quick conclusion and tell me what a halacha is, very practical. I want to learn Maseches Brachas, right? I don't want to learn, you know, Kachim and Taharas. It has nothing to do with what we do nowadays. You know, if a person has his this is what I'm interested in, this is what I'm not interested in. You know, that's not a person who loves Hashem for no reason. Right? Because that means, you know, I like what I like. This Gemara interests me, that Gemara doesn't interest me, this is why I like this, I don't like this Gemara. Right, but if a person is chad, if there is an avashen etlui b'davar, and your neshama loves every piece of Gemara, there's no piece of Gemara your neshama doesn't love. And more than that, it's because each piece of Gemara is a part of you. It's a part of you. What are you going to say? There's a part of your body you like, a part of your body you don't like. I like my hands, I don't like my feet. You like every part of your body because it's part of you. Torah is every part of you. Every part of Torah is every part of you. But if not, I don't want to, as soon as you hear a certain topic, you just go to sleep. I'm not interested. So that means you're not there. Now, it doesn't mean to say, you know, even if you're at that level of avashen tuli v'dover, it could be certain parts of Torah resonate in you more. That could be, you know, you like all Gemara, but this one I really love. Okay, that's the difference. If I love it all and this one I love more, okay, so your neshama is more in contact with that part. Fine. But to say, I don't like it, I don't want to learn this. You know, that's already, and that's why it's a major problem teaching Torah. You know, it's hard enough, you know, to find people who want to learn, but then it has to be what they like. And if they don't like it, then, you know, they stop coming. It's very hard. But that's what we're dealing with. Not dealing with an Ava Shena Tluya B'Dover. Okay.
Rabbi,
yes, sir.
We learned at the beginning, a couple of days ago, that every Jew has that soul ability to connect to Hashem. It's
yes, sir.
There. It's always there.
Yes, sir.
So how come we get so few of these that they even have to mention, like the brothers? That's one... I don't. We are 10 million Jews today. How many people have this ability today? Like,
so that's what we're.
We don't feel about each other the way we should. Like soul connection. Never mind. Okay, I should feel good about the other Jew. That's just intellectually. What's the reason for that thing not being there? I mean, where is it?
No, like I said, like this is what we're doing in the book the whole time. You know, it's a whole avoid of a yid is to unearth the neshama from within himself.
Why is it hidden?
It's hidden to give a human being, free will choice. Anything good in this world is hidden. You've got to work hard to get it, to get to it. If it was so obvious, there'd be no reward for what a person does.
Why did the brothers do that? They were able to do
that. They worked on themselves. Certain people work on there. There are certain tzaddikim in this world. There are people, you know, my goal in life is to get close to Hashem and to get close to myself. And they work on it. And if you work on it, you can get to it. If you don't work on it, you won't get to it. That's what Hashem made the world. Go back to the beginning of Litzado, Mesil Shasharm, Derech Hashem. Hashem created the world for pleasure, for man's pleasure to get close to Hashem. And he says it's going to be hard work. Why? Because if you don't work hard to get it, it's not yours. You didn't earn it. It's not an integral part of who and what you are, and it will not be enjoyable if you don't have that. So you've got to work on it. That's the way life was created. You've got to work hard to get to these goals.
That scares me. There are 10 million Jews today. I have 10 million.
I understand. There's 10 million Jews and very few.
How many people work that day?
Okay, forget about that. How many are up to Ava Shetluya B'Dover? The lower level. How many are at Ava Shetluya B'Dover? So listen, that's a Gemara. Gemara says the Machloikas, 2.5 years, Beisil Beshame, was it worth it to create man or not? Gemara Paskins, it wasn't worth it to create man. But now that Hashem, we have, okay, let's be in Fashfresh B'Maisav. What does it mean? I mean, the truth of the matter is, how many Jews in this world, in the history of the world, have reached this goal that Hashem planned for every human being to accomplish in a lifetime? Not a lot. So the Bali Musar say, but you know what? It was worth it for the few. And everybody else, we'll get there. It'll take a little bit more work. Everybody who's trying will get there. Okay, you'll have to go through a little Gehenna, you'll have to go through another Gilgal, whatever. Hashem will get you there. And eventually we'll get there. But you know, it's our own stubbornness, our own fault that we're not there. That's all. I can't explain any better than that. Why? If it was handed to you on a silver platter, what would it be worth? It's not as difficult as you think, but it's a question of, was this what you want? You know, Hashem gave us a very good Yetzer Hara. He's been doing a very fine job over the last 5,700 odd years. He's made illusion very real, and we fall for it, and we don't listen to what Hashem says. We don't listen to what it says in the Torah every Shabbos. We just don't listen. That's all there is to it. There's a lot of people want to make a lot of money. Most people in this world don't become rich, but they're all working hard to make money. You know, people work hard. How many people are millionaires, percentage-wise, of the whole world? How many millionaires, really, they got it made and they got everything? How many? And yet we all, mutzich, we all work hard to make a little bit more money, even though you're not going to. But it's something we want, you know, we go for it. So if we would want it as much, you know, that's what King David HaMelech says. If you search for it like gold and silver, then you will find it. If you will search for Torah like gold and silver, then you'll find it. You'll find Hashem. You'll find these things. This is also a problem is the Golus. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, there were much more people who were in this game. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, millions of Nevi'im. I mean, being a Navi meant you were at this level. If you were a Navi, that Hashem came to you personally and revealed himself to you, that was the ultimate expression of this oneness. And there were lots and lots and lots and lots of Nevi'im during the times of the first base of English. Okay, we messed up. This is the Golos. This is why you want, this is why you want Mashiach to come, no? This is why you want the third base of Migdash. All this Narishkeit will be blown away. It'll be a little easier to get there. So it's gotta daven a little harder for it now, Sam. We all have to daven for it. Okay, Hahevdo Hamahusi. What is the essential difference between these two types of love? That love that depends on something is, you know, like occasional, it happens, it's by accident. And from time to time it could stop and then come back. But a love that doesn't depend on anything, it's an essential love. There is no nullification of it. If a person finds himself in the world of the spirituality, but it's the kind of a level of leprakim, at prakim, like, you know, at times, like on and off. Zivug shein and tmini, it's not a consistent match. So we have to say that that level of unity with the spiritual world is not an essential revelation. He doesn't live in that world. Here's an interesting way he says it. You know, a guy who's on and off spiritually, it's because he doesn't live in that world. He may visit that world. He may be found in that world. He may even be connected to it for a time, but he also can leave it. Right? He's not in that zone. It's not him, but he'll visit that world. You know, the Satmar Rav years and years and years ago. So in New York, they have lots of, quote unquote, kosher, butchers. And not a lot of them weren't so kosher. So all kinds of problems. I mean, there's still some problems, but it was major problems in the 40s and 50s. It was like really serious issues. I mean, real mafia issues with the meat and stuff like this. Really bad stuff. So anyway, so these signs, you know, busser, you know, instead of with a chaf, be with a base, it's busser. Instead of busser, kosher busser, kosher meat. It was busser, meat. Anyway, so they have these signs flashing on and off. Busser, kosher. So Satmar Rav quipped. He said, yeah, sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's not. And that was probably the emes. Sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's not. So you know what? That's how it is with a lot of people's frumkeit. Sometimes the lights are on, sometimes the lights are off. You know, one davening the lights are on, then you're in the car, the lights are off, then the lights can be off for an hour, then the lights go back on for a minute, then the lights go off. Right? That's the person, avatluya bedover. The lights can go on, the lights can go off. Someone whose love doesn't depend on anything, the lights are always on. Lights are always on. There's always somebody home, as it were. Right? But the person without, imken achibru mikri, the connection is occasional, as it happens. Lo tamidi, lo atzmi, not consistent, not essential. So any love he would reach is all dependent on the mood he's in, the feeling he's in, which again is still a very high level. Let's not forget, and that's about the best we can accomplish, how vi the 10 million Jews today are on that level. Then we'd be okay. Mashiach will come. Right? But it's still, even that level is far from the ultimate level. The only person whose life is essentially etched and connected to spirituality, he is only one who can reach. Ava does not depend on anything else. Okay, next subcategory, and the final one of this chapter, on page Reish, Lamed Beis. Madrega Shehila Mala Mikochas Enosh, the level that is beyond the powers of people. This is what I've been telling you for the last few days. He's going to say it explicitly now. Now we have to make an important point. We don't mean to say that a person reaches this lofty level of love that doesn't depend on anything. It doesn't mean a person now has to withhold himself from eating and drinking. Lihi nazir, from the word nazir, to stay away from eating and drinking. V'lisase klal b'nyan negashus, and not to be involved at all in the physical world. No. Shari afilu Moshe Rabbeinu l'shom, even Moshe Rabbeinu, hagam keshehoyal har Sinai bar miyom v'rabim lo'eluloch v'lishos, even though when he was on the mountain of Sinai, he didn't eat and drink for 40 days, but after that, besides those 40 days, as long as he lived on this planet, with his feet on the ground, who ochel was just, he ate and drank. He, believe it or not, Moshe Rabbeinu did eat. Every day. He ate, drank. Because al kadoshim higdiru, and the rabbis have defined him, shebebechinus, it was the level of an ish alakim, a godly person. A godly person, ish alakim. Chetsha shalomala, hoibebechinus alakim, half of him and above. It's not just physically, but half of him and above was of the attribute of God. But the lower half was man. He was a human being who was godly. Klomer, what does that mean to say? Hamusak lichya ispoelim shal ruchon is the concept of living in the world of spirituality. Ein kavana sola tzum mishavas shavas to fast week in, week out. But rather, even when a person lives in the physical world, in the brackets it says, at times where he needs certain things, Gam oz ha-nefesh shalo, kviya sa-machshava shabamach, u-kviya sa-machshava shabalev, u-kushorm le-bari olam, u-kushorm le-ruchonis. Even then, when he's engaged in the most physical activities, his soul is, and his minds and his thoughts and everything that's there is all set and tied totally to Hashem and spirituality. At every moment of physicality, he's totally tied to the spiritual world. That was what the others were on. Right. When a person is on this pathway, when a person on that level, for him there's no fundamental difference for the level of soul, regardless if he's engaged in a quote-unquote spiritual activity, or if he's engaged in a quote-unquote physical activity. Why? Because I have though, who rock the chitzonios, the difference is only externally viewed. And only in terms of what the hands are involved with and what he's doing physically. That's the only difference. But besides that, once you get beneath the skin, where the soul is etched in, where it is kavua, hanefesh devuka tamin l'kudas ruchanis, the soul is constantly connected to its spiritual root. In other words, whatever he does, he's totally connected to God. It's like having a plug to a machine, and it's always plugged in. You're always plugged into Rabbi Shalom. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're going. You know, you're always there and plugged in with Hashem. So it doesn't matter. Tzadik can eat. Why is that any contradiction to him being close to Hashem? He's in that zone of being close to Hashem. So you don't have to give up this world at all. It's just how you see the world. U'be'emes. For our cousin Mesil Shasharim al Dregazu, and the truth is, Mesil Shasharim already talks about this. So this level is the level of what he calls Chasidus. Shila Malam Mikol Chazanish. Really, this level, Mesil Shasharim says, is beyond human ability. Ubor Poshet Shikachu, and it's clear that that's the way it is. Why? Kiven Sha'adam Itzara Etzem Yitzira So Chai B'Mahal Shol Yisfridus. Because a human being, the way he's fashioned, the way God created him, was to live in a pathway of ups and downs. That he should have a set way of living, and for him to have a set way of living with the spiritual realm, and to live always with a revelation, a constant revolution to the spiritual point that's him. That's beyond what a person can do. A person really can't do this. By his nature. We'll see how you're going to get to it in a second. You know, they say about Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Charlap, who lived in Yerushalayim, was a big tzaddik when the old yeshiv was established, and he became a Talmud of Rav Kook. He became a Talmud of Rav Kook. See, you picked the day. So once a month, Rav Kook first was Rav in Yafo, before he was in Yerushalayim. It was Rav in Yafo. So, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Chalap, once a month, he traveled from Yerushalayim to Yafo, which didn't happen as fast as it happens now. 1 hour without traffic. No, Yafa's a little more, no? About an hour, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, in those days, in the 1900s, you know, it was, took a little bit longer. But he would travel to Yafo to be with Rav Kook for a couple days every month. Right? So people asked him, I don't understand, there's lots of tzaddikim Yerushalayim. Felt in the show, tzaddikim Yerushalayim. Big tzaddikim Yerushalayim. Yosef Chaim, son of a big, big tzaddikim, right? So why do you have to leave the tzaddikim Yerushalayim to go to Yafo? So he answered a very clever and sharp word. He said, most of the gedolim he sees are only gedolim most of the time. But Rav Kook, I never see him not being a gadol. Rav Kook was a 24/7 gadol. You know, the other gadolim, you know, were plugged in a lot. I mean, plugged in a lot, but sometimes not plugged in. There were moments of their humanness. Rav Kook never saw that. It was always plugged in, no matter what. At any time, in any situation, was always plugged in. Right? So that's somebody who hits the jackpot. People like that, they hit the jackpot. Because, and for them, there's no, whatever he would do, it's all one ruchnius thing. And he enjoyed every moment of it. And it was never this thing, like, what's in it for me? I mean, Rav Kook never owned a penny in his life. He didn't own a penny in his life. And they had to be careful not to let him have any money, because it was very dangerous when he had money. What do I mean dangerous? He'd get his check, and Almana would start crying. He gave the whole check to her. Finished. That's all there was to it. And they were wondering why they couldn't make ends meet. So they, after a while, they said, he doesn't get the check. He doesn't get anything. The Rebbetzin takes care of everything. He doesn't even see anyone. He just can't deal with it in terms of, because there's nothing for him in it. Mamish, nothing for him. That's feeling all of Klal Yisrael. I mean, who else could feel the neshamas of the secular Yidden at that time? I mean, there were some. There were certain times Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld also went with him to do Kiruv onto the Moshavim, to the Kibbutzim and things like that. But Rav Chalap was saying, but every second Rav Kook was there. Mamish every second. Right? So that's the kind of person on that level. Right? That's that level that we're talking about over here. But we're saying, but you can't reach that. Mr. Sturm says you can't reach it. It's not possible. So we'll see how he ends this off, Mr. Sturm. So v'shosh adam nifter, when a person dies, v'neshama yotzis min aguf, and the soul leaves the body, oz tivi hadover sh'neshama chaya b'olam rechoni. Then the nature of the soul is to live in the spiritual world. If you remember, long ago, in the other sefer from Mutzal, the name
Das Tunas.
Das Tunas, yeah, thank you. We learned it once, long ago, right? Right, Howard? Long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did learn Das Tunas. He talks about that when you're in this world, the neshama is a guest in the house of the body. But in the next world, the body is a guest in the host of the neshama. It's like a whole different, everything's reversed. Right now, I mean, you know, your address is your body. This is the address. The neshama is a visitor. Now, if you could, you know, with a lot of siyata dishmaya, the neshama could rule the house. But it's hard to rule the house when you're a stranger. The neshama doesn't feel so comfortable in this world, really. And being in the house, in this house, it's not so easy. But in the next world, the house is the neshama. And the body is the guest in the house. Body is the appendage to the soul, right? So that's a whole different game. So when that's the case, when the nature, the focus shifts, and the person's realization of what's primary and supplementary becomes more true, then the nature of the soul will be the nature of the human being will be to be plugged into the soul completely. It's just a shifting of the weight. But as long as we're in this world, neshama is inside the body. It is subjugated to a certain extent to the body. Everyone according to their level. Consequently, so the body's going to try to knock down the neshama a little bit of a level. Okay, therefore, For the soul to be completely plugged in to Hashem when it's in a body, that's a reality that's beyond natural. Since the way creation is, Hakli hu aguf, va'or hu aneshama, the utensil, the receptacle is the body, and the light is the neshama. And every half is trying to push its weight and trying to win. So sometimes the neshama wins, sometimes the goof wins. That's when there's this conflict. So it's very hard. And normally a person can't do it on their own. It's not possible on their own. So how can Hashem expect us to get it done, right? Well, that's what Masil Shasharim finishes up. Therefore the Masil Shasharim says, Madregazu, this level that we're talking about, Trilasa avoida v'soifa gemur. Trilasa hishtadlus v'sofa matana. This level that we're talking about now, the beginning of this level is work, but the end of this level is the reward that Hashem gives it to you. The beginning of this level is effort, and the end is a gift. At the end, if you work hard enough, Hashem says, you know, you can't do it on your own. Here it is. I'm giving it to you. You gotta get the gift. That's also what Nevuah is, also a gift. You could work as hard as you want to be a Navi. At the end of the day, it's up to Hashem if He wants to give you the gift. Now, I know what you're going to ask, Sam, so hang on. So in that last part to get it, lo shayeches avoda, it's not appropriate the word avoda anymore, work, service. So what's going on over here? It doesn't make sense. I was telling Sammy, that Hashem made it so hard, so we have to earn it. And if we earn it, it's ours. Right? And now we're saying, at the end, you don't earn it. Even with all the work you do, at the end, God's got to give it to you as a gift. So he says like this. He says, you're right. In this last aspect, there's no aspect of work. El shekesher adam mitzido osa es kol asher b'kolcho b'emes laso samanas licha espel m'shel ruchanis. But if a person from his own side does everything in his ability to reach this level, to live in the world of spirituality, Olam Shel Dveikus Ba'olam, a world of cleaving to Hashem, v'umagi alechalos hakoch haso, and he reached a level where he's expended every ounce of effort, he has nothing more he can give to Hashem in terms of effort. When you're giving it all you can, and only Hashem can testify to that, then Hashem gives you a flow, a gift of energy that's beyond human capability. And that is a famous rule. That's Gemara in Brachas. It says, how come, in the Gemara's time, it says, how come we don't have people have miracles happen, and in earlier generations there were? And the Gemara answers, the early generations had Mesiris Nefesh, and we don't. Whatever the Gemara means on that level. But Hashem says, listen, the brass ring is over here. You give it all the effort you can. I'm telling you right now, with all the effort you can, even if you're doing 100%, you don't waste a minute of your life, you're only going to get here. But when I see you get here, then I'm going to take you the rest of the way. And that's the famous marshal we've said many times. The famous marshal where the king builds a ladder. He goes all the way up to the top, up to the heavens. And the king says, whoever can climb to the top of the ladder is going to get my daughter's hand in marriage, and it'll be the prince, etc., etc. Everybody sees, you know, that ladder goes up for a few miles. So everyone said, forget it. We're not going to try. So one guy says, listen, I'm going to try. If the king said, and he's offering, he said, he's not making fun of us. It must be a way to get to the top. Must be a way to get to the top. So he starts climbing. 100 steps, 200 steps, 300 steps, 400 steps, 500 steps, 600 steps. He's still so far away, he can't even begin to see the end of the ladder. He's getting about to the 1,000th step. He's like really tired. He's like really tired. And he hardly has gone up that ladder. Right? So then finally, you know, he's taking another step, another step, another step, and it's like really getting hard. The next 100 steps, he's almost killing himself. But even, it's like, it's thousands to go. So it's like, okay, like he's mamish, he doesn't got anything left. He says, I still have to try. So then, you know, he's step 1,110. And that's it. I can't anymore. I can't. Okay, so okay, I'll take one more step. That's it. And he takes one more step. What, step 1,111. He takes the last step. And at that point, his whole, everything gives going. He's going to fall. But unbeknownst to him, there is a super powerful magnet that's at the top of the ladder whose ability to grab and catch something is at the 1,111th step. Nobody knew this. And once he hit that last step, even as his koyach was leaving him, the magnet just pulled him right up. He made it to the top. So the question is, did he make it to the top or did he not make it to the top? The answer is, he did everything he could to get to the top. And once he did, and he couldn't do any more. It was physically beyond the ability of any human being to get to the next step. But he got to the most that any human being could get to. Once you do that, Hashem says, I will take care of the rest. And he did everything, because he did everything he could humanly do. And that's what Hashem wants from us. If we do everything we can humanly do, Hashem says, at the end, I will take care of. And you will get credit for doing the whole job because you did everything that you can do. And that's all really what Hashem wants. So that's why so often in spiritual growth, we don't see how we can ever be on this level that we're trying to achieve. And the answer Hashem says, you can. If you give everything you can give, I promise you, you'll get to that level. In so many areas. Right? People still think that they're never going to learn Gemara, they're never going to do this. You can do it all. You can do it all. You just have to really want it as much as you want everything else. And you put the effort, if you put all the effort in, Hashem has to give you success in the areas that you're working on. Same thing in this area. Coming to Avish, Eina Tluya Bedover. How are you going to get there? You have to give it everything you can. If you give it everything you can, even in this world, you could reach it. So a Hasidish Rebbe in training, the guy's give it everything he can. And he's able to reach it. They're sitting and reach it. We don't put the effort in to reach it. But Hashem will, but in the next world, it'll be automatic. I mean, for those who are at all interested. You know, if you're a Yid and you're not interested at all in spirituality, it's going to be a very uncomfortable time for you. But if it's something you wanted to, I want to, but I have a big Yetzirah, and every Yom Kippur you cry to Hashem, Hashem, I'm a Gornish, and every time I try, I fail, and it bothers you. So it says, okay, there'll be a time where you'll be able to, you won't have to work anymore, and you'll be able to get it. So that's why we have to know that this is what's coming down the line. This is what we have to look forward to, which really is an amazing reality. And therefore to appreciate, you know, when tzaddikim are able to do certain things that me and you cannot do, it's for that same reason. It's for that same reason. You know, they tell a story with the Chayza from Lublin. We'll end with the story. The Chayza from Lublin, so he had to go away for something, whatever. So who was there in Lublin at the time? The Yid HaKadosh was there. Yid HaKadosh was there. So the Chayza said, listen, do me a favor. You know, all the Hasidim come to see me. Now, the Chayza from Lublin was called the Chayza. Chayza means to see. The Chayza from Lublin could see what other people couldn't see. When he looked at you, he could see who you were. A lot of people were afraid to go to the Chayza. They're afraid what he would see. Right? But anyway, he had to go away. So he told the Yid HaKadosh, he said, listen, I want you to take my Hasidim for the time I'm away. So the Yid says, how can I do that? You're the Chayza. You can see. I can't see anything. I can't do this. So the Chayza said, I will give you my eyes. I'll leave my eyes here. So you'll be able to see. Okay. The Rebbe promised he gives me his eyes. Okay. So I'll do it. Fine. Whatever. So first chassid comes in, starts spilling his guts out, telling him his problems. And oh, it's incredible. It's terrible, terrible matzav. The Yid says, so what am I going to tell this guy? I don't know what I'm going to tell this guy. Then all of a sudden, when the Yid finishes, all of a sudden, like, you know, it gets like really spooky. And, you know, it gets really dark in the room. And then all of a sudden, this Yid's whole face lights up. And then all of a sudden, he sees the face go through so many transformations back in time of every Gilgal that this person ever was. It's just all of a sudden, it's like, you know, one of these Spielberg movies. The guy's just changed to this face, that face, this name, that name, till it comes all the way, till it's etched into his forehead, Adam Harishon. You know, then everything comes back to normal, and by seeing who the person was before, he knew what etzah to give the guy. He knew what advice to give the guy. He knew where the problem was rooted in from a previous lifetime. These were the eyes that the Chayza had. Those were the eyes that he lent him. Right? So who, how could anybody see, how can anybody do this? Very simple. Once you are at the stage of Ava Sheina Tlui B'Dover, once you've connected your neshama, that neshama is not just connected to Hashem and Torah and the Jewish people today. The Torah is endless. Klal Yisrael is endless. Hashem is endless. So it means you're connected to not just now, you're connected to the past, to the present, and to the future. That's where these tzaddikim can pull off all these magic tricks. Like, how do they know? How did he know? Because they're connected in every possible dimension. Because once you're connected to neshama, you're not limited by time or space. So that is all part of the gift that Hashem can give to people. So I'll be soicha, you know, even if we're not going to get on this level, at least say Hashem, oh yeah, I wish that I could be on this level. And if you daven for it, Hashem will give it to you. At least in the next world to have it is worthwhile. And you will at least appreciate those who do have it in this world. You'll have what to respect for and who to go to and look for advice for.